Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12 says, "After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, 'Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him.' When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. 'In Bethlehem in Judea,' they replied, 'for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel.' Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and make a careful search for this child. As soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go worship him as well.' After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it was stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route." The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Well, as mentioned earlier, we are starting a new series called A Light to the Nation, which talks about the importance and the centrality of the Christian truth that the light of Christ extends to all people, all corners of the earth, far and wide, that the message of salvation is to be given to all people, which to us maybe is just routine in the Christian faith, but to the Jewish people who believed that the Savior was coming to save them, this was a new truth, that the Messiah was the Messiah of all people, not just Israel, but the entire world, and that the light of this coming King would extend forth to all people. Now, I'm talking to a room of folks who mostly feel at home in this church or in the Christian faith. And today we're going to begin this series on A Light to the Nations by talking about what it means for an outsider to become an insider. In August of 2002, I left from my home with three cars full of furniture, clothes, toiletries. I was starting college with my brother. Three cars altogether between the two of us. The car we were sharing, and then both of my parents' cars, and there was probably another trip or two throughout the semester. But that was the most significant change of my life up to that point. Going away, only 45 minutes away, Georgetown College was only 45 minutes from home in Louisville, Kentucky. But it was an exciting, significant, and intimidating change in my life for this young, lanky 18-year-old boy to enter the college world. To step onto this place where there were all kinds of people who were older than me, where men could grow full beards. And even at 35, that's still a challenge for some of us. Be patient with me for a few weeks. But I got to college, and thankfully, Georgetown College, and I think this is true of most any college today, had perfected the art of college move-in day. Any of you participate in College Move-In Day? I don't know how long that practice has been around, but I know when I went to Georgetown College, they did everything to make new students feel welcome on campus. Because they knew we felt like outsiders. They knew we had no clue what we were doing. We were young. We did not know a thing about college. So they did all they could from the moment we stepped on campus to help us feel included and to make us feel like we were home. So when we pulled up to our dorms, there were volunteer students of all kinds who helped us carry our things into our dorm rooms to sort of say, "You're at home here. You're one of us. We want to help you move in. You're our neighbor. You're our classmate." We also were given a freshman advisor who would help show us the ropes, who we could go to and say, "You know, I just don't get this about college life," or I'm having trouble registering for classes, or I'm having trouble with this particular professor or how we do things here." And that freshman advisor was supposed to help us to feel more comfortable and to feel at home. we were given a tour of the campus. So we had a group of fellow freshmen. We would go around and we'd learn, well, this is where the library is. If you're a good student, you're probably going to spend a lot of time here. If you need a computer or a printer, you're probably going to spend a lot of time here. Here's the gymnasium. You can come here to work out during these hours. Here's the cafeteria. You will no doubt spend a lot of time here. Here's the financial office. You will spend some time here in the years to come. Not just now, but perhaps even decades down the road. You will be sending checks here to the financial office. And so we met the faculty in that first weekend. There were fun social parties that various organizations on campus threw. For instance, they had concerts and things on the great lawns. And so it was a lot of fun. It made us feel at home. They did everything in their power to help us outsiders, that being college freshmen who were moving on campus, how to feel at home, how to feel like insiders within a few days. I can't imagine if I didn't have those experiences when I first stepped on college campus. I can't imagine to go through college for a full 4 years and feel like I wasn't at home when I spent most of my time there. And so I appreciate that, and I can understand why colleges spend so much time on that opening weekend, on those first impressions that the students receive from the college. There's maybe nothing worse than feeling like an outsider, is that right? If you go to a new job and there's no training or no orientation, you're just kind of thrown to the wolves, you know you might be in for a long haul there at your new job. If you move into a new neighborhood and no one introduces themselves or no one puts a flower on your doorstep or no one brings you a meal, well, you wonder if you've moved to the right place and if you'll always be an outsider even in your own neighborhood. You move to a new city, you don't know how people drive, you don't know how pedestrians may cross the street or not. That was something I had to learn a lot about in Black Mountain in Asheville. Because when you've got tourists all over the place, they don't tend to care where the crosswalks are. They don't tend to care what this means or what the walking man means on the sign. They're going to cross as they please. So I had to learn a lot about pedestrian traffic when I moved to Black Mountain. Church, I regret to say, are about as guilty as anyone about making others feel like outsiders. I don't mean First Baptist Church. I mean all churches. We've gotten that reputation. That we have a tendency to make people feel like they don't belong here. That until they get in line with our ways, whether it's behavior or theology, they're outsiders. The starting point of this series about the light going out to the nations is in many ways about people coming to us or coming to Christ. Yes, the light of Christ extends out to all places, but today is a story about people who come into Christ's presence from the outside. If you're wondering if this sermon series is going to touch on evangelism, yes, it is, because that's what this is about. It is about taking the light of Christ and the light of Christ going forth to all people, even the Gentiles and non-believers. And we're going to talk about, through the next few weeks, what that means in the year 2019. I want to pause quickly to allow you to watch a quick video from Matt Chandler, who's a pastor in Dallas, who's going to talk a little bit about the intersection between hospitality and evangelism.
So if you're thinking about evangelism in this kind of culture where maybe hostility has increased, and I think a way to think about evangelism, again, is to go back to the first century, second century, as we watch the church in the margins, that the early church was known for their hospitality. Like they were known for greeting everyone. So we want to be a people that show kindness, that operate in such a way that everyone who stands in front of us feels like they're seen and understood as a human being. So that means everyone from the grocery stores that we shop at, to the places we get our coffee, to the people that fix our cars, to our coworkers, to our friends, friends, to the, like, we want to greet everyone we see. We want to see them as human beings made in the image of God. And then we want to make dinner a priority. Like, dinner for the Christian should be that place where we welcome outsiders, where we're serious about gathering and knowing one another deeply. And then spiritual conversations giving birth in that space of calling people to consider the beauty of Jesus Christ, and serving at the dinner table becomes this kind of picture of another reality than the one that most people are living. And so, man, we want to greet all of those we see. We want to make dinner a priority. We want to show hospitality to the outsider in particular. So we want to grow our circles to not just look like us, but look different than us and be from different socioeconomic backgrounds and be from different educational backgrounds, different ethnic backgrounds, to be a picture of the community that God is building through the blood of Jesus.
It may seem we've jumped the shark a little bit. You might say, Jeremy, this is Three Kings Sunday, or this is the Sunday where we're talking about the wise men. And yeah, last year we talked about the Magi, we talked about the gifts they brought, their kingly presence, what that meant for Jesus, but today we're going to look at it from a slightly different angle. We're talking about the men coming from afar, seeing the star, seeing Christ's light, and coming into Jesus' presence, being welcomed into Jesus' presence. And this is, of course, decades before Jesus even begins his ministry. At this point, Jesus may not have been able to talk yet. We don't know. But yet, here early on in this Gospel of Matthew, we have a story of outsiders becoming insiders in the presence of Jesus. Magi from the east. Truly, that's all we know. We don't know much more about them. We don't even know if there were three. Your yearly reminder that we are never told that there are three wise men. We just know that there are more than one. And that's about all we can gather. We don't even know if they were kings. They may have been something like astrologers. They may have been scientists, which is why they might be called wise men. They may have been practitioners of the ancient Iranian religion called Zoroastrianism. All we know is that these men came from far away, outside the borders of Israel or Jewish territory, and they were about as outside gets. We sometimes hear in the biblical stories about those who surrounded the nation of Israel and who thought like Jewish people, or maybe were somewhat Jewish like the Samaritan people, who were by no means considered insiders, but at the very least they had an idea of or were somewhat tangent to the Jewish faith. These men knew nothing. They were from far away and knew nothing or were nothing like the Jewish people. They were from far away in both location and in faith. And yet the light reached them. The light reached them through the star, and so they came and wanted to approach and to give honor to this kingly presence that had been born. There was someone much closer to Jesus who did not have the same reaction. There was someone much closer to Jesus in location and in thought, but had an adverse reaction. It was Herod. Herod was not a Jew in the traditional sense. He was probably from a Jewish family. But the reason Herod was so afraid of Jesus and so intimidated by Jesus was because he knew that in the Jewish faith, one was coming who would ascend the throne as the king of the Jews. And Herod thought, uh-oh, that doesn't look good for me, does it? And yet he wanted nothing to do with Jesus. So he directed the Magi in a cunning way to go forth and to find this new king and to come back to him, which we know how that story unfolds. As we read in the last sentence of this passage, the Magi went a separate way. But they went forth from Herod's presence following the star and arrived at the house of Mary and Joseph. They arrived and bowed down at the Christ child and gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I just had a moment as I was thinking about this passage earlier than this week about the hospitality that Mary and Joseph would have shown, the wise men who entered their presence. And for all we know, that may have been an unclean thing for them to do. I'm not familiar enough with Jewish law or what it was like at that time, but I kind of wonder if priests or scientists or someone from a pagan religion from far away had entered a person's home, if that would have been considered taboo. And yet Mary and Joseph opened their home, and the wise men were able to be in the presence of Christ because of their hospitality and their invitation into their home. I suppose Mary and Joseph could have just said, "No, we don't want any. Yeah, those are pretty good gifts, but we really need diapers and casseroles right now." At this point in the story, Jesus hadn't begun his ministry and he couldn't talk, and yet here he was. God came down to be with us, and that was enough for the Magi. In this passage where, yes, Jesus is central, but the wise men or the Magi are actually the main characters of this particular passage, we learn that God's light to the world is welcoming outsiders into Christ's presence. So let's just sit with that truth for a moment. How does that change you? Knowing that God's light to the world is a welcoming of outsiders into Christ's presence, into our presence if we are the body of Christ. How do you view those who are not here right now? How do you view the unchurched in our community? How do you view those who ascribe no faith in Jesus Christ, perhaps no faith in God at all? Do we want to keep them at bay? Do we say, "You cannot enter our presence, you have no place here, until you get right, and then you can come in"? As we start down this journey reflecting on the light of Christ, I want us to reflect on two questions. First of all, who are the outsiders? Who are they? I know that even by asking you to name them, that could be damaging. Asking you to draw lines in the sand. But let's do some honest reflection. Who do we consider outsiders in our community? Is it simply the way someone looks? Are they outsiders because of a particular socioeconomic status? Are outsiders people of disabilities? Are outsiders people who don't vote like you? Are outsiders people who are homeless? You may be offended that I would even suggest some of these things. You would say, "How dare you think that about me? I'm just asking questions. I'm not sure what's going on in your heart," but I would caution you to believe that we still don't draw those lines and have outsiders in our midst. I've got them. I'd say we've all got them, and we need to think about where are we drawing the lines and who are we calling the outsiders in our world. We have been given an early gospel example of Jesus welcoming the stranger, and once again, not just someone who lives across town that they don't know, someone who is different and as different as could be, who was welcomed into the presence of Christ. And so I ask you, First Baptist Church, how will the light of Christ shine through our hospitality this year? Maybe we need to begin by asking, what is hospitality? Is hospitality just being nice to someone who enters our doors? Is hospitality just being friendly to someone on the street? Well, maybe it's a starting point. But remember, hospitality is helping someone to feel at home. Hospitality is helping someone feel that they are no longer an outsider when they are around you or around your family or your friends or your college community, whatever it is. How will we show hospitality? Yesterday in Deacon's meeting, we watched a video about what it means to love all people. And we talked about in that video, or we watched in the video, that in order to truly love all people, or to love someone, you must sacrificially give up something of yourself. Loving someone happens to be inconvenient. Now it can be so joyous and so overwhelmingly a good thing that you may not be thinking about the inconvenient nature of loving someone. But when you love someone, you must give of something for yourself for that person. If you love someone or if you love a group of people, you must give something of yourself. You must take part in a holy inconvenience to show Christ's love. In that particular video, we especially heard the story of the Good Samaritan, the Samaritan who had to cross the road, who had to inconvenience himself to show Christ's love and mercy and to be a neighbor, and who had to overcome all kinds of broken religious rules and ceremonial boundaries to help the one who was wounded on the road. So as we talk about hospitality and ultimately how that links to and almost can't be separated from evangelism, as we talk about taking the light of Christ to the nations, let's first think about what it takes to help an outsider feel like an insider in our presence. Yes, there will be things to learn about what it means to be a Christian or to accept Christ or to follow Jesus. No one gets it right off the bat. I don't get it 30 years later. But as we talk about Christ's light going to the nations, let's reflect on who we are as a church and if we are doing a good enough job of helping the outsiders, like the wise men, feel like insiders in Christ's presence, which we believe is in this faith community. And so I ask you, what will you sacrifice to show that kind of hospitality? What will you give up in order to welcome people into your presence? Will you give up pride? Will you give up fear? Will you give up certain privileges or socioeconomic statuses in the moment that will help you be on level ground? Where can we give more of ourselves to be hospitable this year? Let's explore that together as we seek to take Christ's light to the nations and to Black Mountain. Let's pray.